reacting to your word. And your word upholds, you uphold all things by the word of your power, O God. And so nothing can escape you. Nothing can be done that's outside of your will and outside of your purpose. And we thank you, Father God, that we're just part of that word. We're just manifesting the word for this hour. We're just your thoughts expressed in this day. And to be fully you, Lord, in a full way, in a full measure. We thank you for that, and we ask your blessing now in this word tonight, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Love the worship tonight, everyone. It was just wonderful to sense the presence of the Lord and know that he's here, know that we are right there at his throne, amen. It's a great thing. And in the hour that we're living in, when this word that we have is just calling us up, 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 how many just feels you're just being every day, the Lord keeps calling you higher and higher and higher, hallelujah. While you're standing, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, remember how Peter and them said, "Hey, Lord, look, Rabbi, look at the tree you cursed the other day. It's dried up from the roots. You know, you just spoke to it and it obeyed you." And Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, and your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." May God bless his word. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. What an amazing thing. You know, they had seen Jesus do a lot of things. They had seen him walk on the water. They had seen another time when he spoke to the waves and the winds and controlled nature with his voice. They had seen Jesus speak to disease and demons. The Bible doesn't record him often raising his voice, very few times. He just was very calm, cool, collected, in control. He did that not because he was God, because he had to pray and sweat it out like you and I do to get his answers to where to go and what to do, but he did only what his Father showed him. So Jesus played a role as that human man that he was to have to seek God to get visions and directions, even though God fully dwelt in him. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You and I have the Holy Spirit, but we still have to seek God and cry out and reach out to him. But the most amazing thing is that Jesus' plan on earth was not to spend 3.5 years demonstrating what God would be like, but demonstrating what God would be like in a man, in a woman, in a person. Amen? And in other words, what we all should be like. He was giving us an example. The Bible says that Jesus walked on earth to give us an example so that we could follow in his footsteps. Yes, we worship him. He is the Lord of glory. He is the King of kings, right? He is Almighty God. Amen? But yet he came to earth to show us what a redeemed person could be like. Hallelujah. That's really the reason he died. He didn't die to save us from our mess and then let us go create more messes and then we could be forgiven for all of our rotten messes until he comes. That's not the point. The point of his death was so that he could bring us to the original condition. He was demonstrating an original condition. Amen. Everybody understand that? So he was showing us what an original human being should look like, what Adam and Eve could have had but failed to get. He demonstrated that for 3.5 years, and then he died, paid the price so we could have it. He showed us for 3.5 years the wealth of heaven, showing through a human being how a redeemed man or woman could live. He showed us that, overcome all things, become fully who he was ordained to be. And then he died on the cross. He paid the price to give us access to our own capability in him, our own predestination Predestination determines your capability. Your capability is not necessarily what your parents put in you and in your genetic code. And yes, there's some great things that came through. But what the Holy Spirit does, what it, does it mean to be born again? It means that the real true gene of God is now manifesting in a human being. Just as Jesus, what was Jesus? He was the genetic code, the gene of God acting out through a human being. He could speak to the mountain and have it move. He could speak to the tree and have it shrivel. He could speak to diseases and have it disappear. I mean, that's what he did. And then Paul came and Peter came and the rest afterwards filled the Holy Spirit. And then they started speaking to diseases. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. You will raise the dead. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to speak a new language. Amen. You're going to control demons. You're going to control this dimension and the next one, not the next one, but the one next to it. Amen. You're going to be in charge. Christ said, I am going to give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. Full authority. Amen. And what good is it to give someone authority if he doesn't have a voice? What good is it for you to have authority if you can't use it? Praise the Lord. Now, if the voice that we're emanating, if what emits from us is a voice of worry and a voice of stress and a voice of, you know, what if this happens and what if that happens and the voice of, oh no, you know, everything's falling apart around me. And, you know, if that's the voice, then that's the creation. It's true. I mean, I'm just thinking right now of the testimony of Pierre. I thought that was so amazing. But he's like tapping into something there. And it just didn't leave me. I just keep thinking about it and thinking about it. And I just started doing something myself because I thought, you know, it's so true. And yet we amen and we say it's true and then we don't do it. You know, 50% of what comes out of our mouth, if we're doing halfway decent, is garbage. And what comes out of our mouth has authority. Doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. It doesn't matter if it's making the devil happy or not. It has authority. Let's make God happy with it. Hallelujah. It has authority. It does stuff. God's word did something. He didn't say, let there be light. Oh, well, that didn't work. Let me try something else. When he said, let there be light, he didn't even need to explain what kind of light. He didn't need to get into the details. It did exactly what he thought. He just spoke in end result terms. See, the word success actually means end result. You're getting the result you wanted. Or desired, you planned on, you thought about. Saints, what I'm trying to share with you is that we need to take the words of Jesus here and apply them. Brother Branham's entire ministry was based on this thought right here. And he used it in the first message he preaches, he uses it. The first one we have, 1947. I don't know if it was the first one he preached, but the first one we have, he uses this scripture. And it's funny because it's not until 1956, 10 years later or somewhere around there, he's hunting for squirrels and he's sitting there up on a hill in an area where there's no squirrels because he didn't really want to hunt. He wanted to think about the scripture. And the scripture in his brain was this. Lord, how is it possible that a man can speak and have it happen? Speak to the mountain. Speak to the tree. Speak to the ocean. Speak to nature. How can he speak something and have it create something? How is that really possible? And then God starts speaking to him. What are you looking for? I'm looking for squirrels. Well, then go ahead and speak one. Amen. You know, this is amazing stuff. It's like God is just having a candid conversation. He finally has someone who can calm down enough and be separate enough from theology that twists your brain all in circles and be calm enough to think clearly so God can speak into his life and say, why don't you just go ahead and do it? Amen. Like it's nothing. And he does it. Not once, not twice, three times. Maybe even six times if you look at the record, because I think it happened another time. He spoke squirrels into existence. I mean, who else has that record? Who else has that testimony? I find it amazing. And saints, honestly, if God did these things through his end time prophet, right? The last voice, last message we're going to ever receive from a messenger has come in our day. And now we're far removed from that because we're 60 years down the road, even more since it started. And Brother Branham only said the squirrels, the wind and the storm and the disease, the cancer in his wife, you know, the little Hattie Wright's children, all these things. He said all these five things were only identifying the third pole. He says it wasn't quite ready yet, but it was showing that it was coming. And then the seals open and brings the authority of the third pole fully to us. And he said it will never be used in a great way until the squeeze. And the squeeze could never happen. Like Jesus went through the squeeze in Gethsemane. Does that make sense? But it couldn't really happen to him until Judas rejected the message. The believer, the message believer. The others, the religious people, already hated it. But now he's walking away from it. And he's kissing it goodbye. And until that happened, there was no squeeze. There has to come a falling away first. Does that make sense? Look where we're at. And I see some guy now, he's taking quotes. He's just going through and finding quotes. Oh, Brother Bram said this, he said this. Look what he's making of himself. You know, and it's funny because I was taking the same thing. He's like, oh, he's saying, unless you follow his message, you're going to be lost. And all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I still remember this one thing he said. If Paul makes it in with his people, I'll make it in with mine because I preached what Paul preached. Now, let's look at what Paul preached. If you were living in Paul's day, and people were living in Paul's day who were writing nasty letters about Paul because he was too rough. They didn't like it when he came around and preached because he was, well, not when he preached, he seemed nice, but when he wrote letters, they commented on his letters. He talks about this. Paul says things pretty rough. Like he says, if anybody preaches any other gospel than what I preach, let him be cursed. I mean, come on, Paul, you're not Scripture. You're just the commenter on Scripture. Scripture was the Old Testament back then. But you see, Peter, at the end of his writings, which he wrote after Paul passed, as far as I know, or maybe sometime before, but he knew Paul was out there writing these letters, and he started telling people, be careful how you treat Paul's letters. Because Peter basically said, I elevate it to the level of Scripture. Now, you see, one of the things that took several years, however many years after Jesus left, maybe 30, 40, 50, however long it took. But it took several years for people to realize that what Peter was preaching and Paul was preaching and the apostles were preaching and what Paul was writing and was turning into letters that were being passed around, that it took them a while to realize that that was the revelation of the Scriptures. It was the Tanakh, the Old Testament, which they all held dear, but it was the Tanakh revealed. That's the New Testament. The New Testament is simply the Old Testament revealed. And that's why the Old Testament can go away. It's kind of like if you talk about an inchworm. The inchworm's amazing, but it's got a potential to be something else. Maybe it's not the inchworm, but whatever the worm is called. I don't know what it is. But potentially, it's a monarch butterfly. But who knows that when it's crawling around eating leaves? And who knows that when it gets into a cocoon? It goes into a cocoon, and now you really think it's totally lost. See, the bride has gone through the stages too, right? We've gone through the whole eating, 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 and now we're in a cocoon stage. Like nothing's happening. What's going to go on now? What's happening? If you don't go in a cocoon stage, there's no wings. Hallelujah. You know, honestly, the worm that's crawling around, the reason it's eating so much is it feels hungry. All it knows is I'm hungry. But in the genetic code of the worm is there are wings in me. Amen. And I need to eat to get those things ready. Amen. All the genetic code for wings is in me. Amen. So I'm eating like a crazy thing. Amen. You ever see the leaves out there at the fall and all like chopped up? And then it just hangs there and does nothing. No more eating. We've got all we need for a body change. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with His Word. People say, "Oh, I gotta hear a message." I've heard these messages over and over. It doesn't matter at this point. He could come right now tonight, and we're out of here. You know, we're just kind of hanging there, and the world is like, "Oh, let's reject this thing. Look at this cocoon. This is an old." That's terrible. Look at that thing. It's kind of like the eagle in the moping period, right? You remember the story? Like, oh, the eagle can't do anything. Look at it. He's a failure. Don't think that one bit. They say after moping period, when they get back up, they actually fly higher than they've ever flown. They fly farther than they've ever flown. they do more than they've ever done before the moping period. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So we got to go through this, and it feels bad when people are rejecting. It feels bad when people that you highly respect walk away. But Scripture must be fulfilled. You can't go in a rapture without it. You've got to be rejected. We feel like we're hunkering down a little. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's only temporary. We're going out of here fast. And when that breaks away, you know, when a monarch butterfly breaks out of the cocoon, you know, he's hanging upside down the whole time. You understand that, right? He's hanging upside down. How they hang, I don't know how they do it, but he's hanging upside down. And looks dead. Looks like a mummy. But all the blood is going to the brain. It's pretty cool, right? And its brain is actually changing from a worm mindset to a flying creature mindset. The brain actually adjusts and changes. The whole head changes size, and everything is rearranged. It's a metamorphosis. It's powerful stuff. And that thing will start to break, and it just expands its shoulders and starts moving its wings. It can barely do anything because it's soaking wet. And when it does that, the cocoon begins to break away and fall away and roll away. And that monarch butterfly will actually hang there for a long time, doing nothing. And when all the cocoon falls away, the wings just drop down. He's upside down still. So his wings are past his head. They're wet. They're heavy. And as he lays there, the wind is blowing, the sun is shining, it's drying out. It's drying out. It's drying out. And then it just starts moving. Starts moving its wings, starts stretching. How many feels like we're getting there too, maybe? Feel like we're stretching a little bit, like stretching our faith, stretching how far we can reach. It has to do that because all those muscles have to get into shape. They have to limber up. And the world says, oh, look at the worm. He thinks he's a bird. He thinks he's a plane. He thinks he's Superman. Well, look at that bird. This bride may be a crazy looking bird, but she's a special built bird. This bride's going to go places. You understand something, don't you, saints, that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Because we're of another world. And we're going to that world. And so this is just something you have to understand. But saints, I want to just encourage you to break the cocoon. We've been dealing with this thing long enough. I don't even care. I never read anything. People send me stuff every now and then. I'll look at it. But I don't have time. I am too busy stretching my wings. You know, talk to me after the rapture. And then convince me. Good luck. See, I don't need to be, I was never convinced to the message. The message found me. It changed me. It transformed me. It brought healing in my life. It redeemed me. How are you going to take, what am I going to do now? Spit on all that and say, yeah, sure, let me go back to a denominational way of thinking. Listen, saints, I can't do it. We are not simply just another worm. We are, it's considered a larva state of a monarch butterfly. So the worm is actually a monarch butterfly. You're not just a bride. You're not just church. You are the redeemed of all ages rolled into one. That's who we are. See, it's all about your identity. It's your identity. I heard a man use a term the other day. I thought it was pretty powerful. He says, you know, some people in business have success and some don't. They have good ideas and they just can't succeed. They keep bumping into something. And he says, what it is they have an identity crisis. Their identity is, I'm poor. I'm used to being poor. That's what I am. And you know, and he's a businessman, so he's got to talk like this. You know, they don't get the results they're looking for because their mindset is on something lower. Their identity is on something lower. I've always gotten these results, so even if they don't talk about it, that's their mindset. And even if they have some kind of success, the business is doing well, they'll find themselves falling back to a level and wondering, why am I here again? Jesus talked about that. He talked about the man that took 5 talents and turned it into 10, and one that took 2 turned it into 4, I think, and the guy that had 1 and he buried it. See, that was the mind, that's the identity. The identity is, let me save everything I have. Instead of thinking about how do I give out? How do I give? You know, we people struggle with, let me be happy. I want to make myself happy. Instead of, the real way to make yourself happy is to make someone else happy. That's the best way. If you give, like the joy, Brother Branham called it, the joy of imparting life. If you don't just worry about your life and you start imparting life to people, your life gets so much more valuable, so much more exciting. And that's what's going on. And I'm afraid that too much of the time, you know, we are so introverted in ourselves and self-centered. It doesn't mean selfish. It just means you're always thinking of everything from your own self vantage point. And you have to, we have to rise to the place where we really are. We are seated currently in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of authority and power. If you're at the right hand of anybody, you're the right hand man. Does that make sense? So you're the one that's sent out to represent all power. You are sent to this earth to represent all power. You are monarch butterflies. I like to think of that worm munching away, and the birds are saying, oh, I wish I could, I want to eat you. You know, you're just a meal. That's all you are. You're limited. And the other bug saying, phew, the stink bug, you know, he says, phew, he can't even stink up the town, and I can. I can make things scatter. I have more power. You know, that old monarch butterfly worm, that larva, he, I can just imagine that he's just thinking, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. Keep eating. Don't even pay attention to anybody else. Just keep eating. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about anyone else says. Keep going. And I want to just encourage you guys tonight to have faith in God. He's got this thing in the bag. It's all fixed. It's a done deal. It's going to happen. You know, there's nothing to stress about. There's nothing to be worried about. We're going home very soon. Very, 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 very soon. There's nothing to stress about. You know, I'm excited about all of this. Just think about that. God has such a beautiful place prepared for us where no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death, no more misery. We have all the joy in the world coming our way. And we're already feeling it now, right? We're feeling the joy and the power of the world to come. But Jesus says, I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So I started doing this thing where, and it's kind of just repeating it over and over. I speak to my own atoms. I actually say my atoms. You are, and I say it per, not being, but present tense. You are restored to your original condition. Hallelujah. Do you want to go search the message on how many times Brother Bram said original condition? A lot. A lot. And that's the redeemed body. I'm speaking to the redeemed body. Atoms. My atoms. You are restored to your original condition. How many believes we're living in a day of restoration? Amen. I mean, we can restore all kinds of things, but that's what I want to be see restored. That's the thing I'm aiming for, right? Amen. You are restored. Three things I'll say. You are restored to your original condition. You are healed. You are healthy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Amen. And it just struck me to do it. And the Lord says, you're going to speak that on all seven levels. I'm going, what are you talking about? I don't even understand this. But you just start with the atoms. Atoms, you are restored to your original condition. You are healed, and you are healthy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen, right? And then next level. So my molecules, you are healed, or you are restored to your original condition. You are healed. You are healthy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Amen. And I just started rejoicing, getting excited, because I started seeing where this is going, right? And I go, what's next? You know, it's like, my tissues. Molecules make tissues. You are restored to your original condition. I'm doing this every single day. I talk to my tissues. I talk to my organs. And I talk to my systems, your biosystems. And then I talk to my body as a whole. And all those levels, six levels, whatever it is, I just keep doing the same thing. You are restored to your original condition. You are healed. You are healthy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just feeling the presence of the Lord come around. It's like angelic beings are coming around. I'm just, my body, I feel pain going away in different parts. I feel pain actually leaving my body and health coming at the same time. It's so powerful, and I'm thinking, Lord, why? What have we been doing when we could be doing this? This is way more fun than complaining. Oh, I feel sick today. I don't know. You know? This is so much more fun. And so I'm just taking one. You could just take one, but there are many scriptures. But just take one, this one. And he said, whoever. Oh, but I'm not a strong Christian. He didn't say that. He said, whoever. How many here is a whoever? Who do you think you are? I'm a whoever. Don't care. Whoever you are. If you say to this mountain, now you put something in there. You're sick. You feel sick to the sickness. You feel alone to the loneliness. You feel hurt to the hurt. You speak to it. Amen? You see where this is going? Before, everything we did was first, second pole. All through church history, second pole was limited and maybe didn't exist at all until this last generation. But first pole was for sure always there. That's why it was weak, because the pole always pulled in the little guys. We couldn't quite bring in the rainbow trout. They came anyway, and God's redeemed them. But here's what I'm saying, is that so much of the time, we are relying on a minister to come by, somebody to come. Like Jesus' whole ministry was to go places and bring healing to people. The early church went out and healed people. And Brother Branham went and healed people, and they had healing lines. Amen? People were lining up to get in front of a preacher, a prophet, for healing. And we're like, well, where's the prophet today? I'll tell you, the prophet's here. Remember, he was only a son of man revealing the son of man. And the son of man is in bride form. So I'm asking you. He said the prophet of this hour is the word of the hour that's born again in the believer. So I'm asking you, where's the prophet? If there was a greater than Solomon and a greater than Jonah, I'm going to say there's a greater than William Branham. Maybe somebody will be offended by that. But there's a greater than William Branham here, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. In a bride form. Yes. Where's the prophet of the hour? Where? People could say, oh, Brother Bram, this, brother. They can say all they want. I'm not even looking at that anymore. We're so far beyond that bride because we've entered into who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Today. Amen. In you. Now do you see the picture? So you don't need to necessarily wait for the preacher. You can if your faith is that weak, but you don't have to because it's already in you. The mountain is sitting there because it's waiting for someone to speak to it. The disease only comes to you because it needs to be talked to. All the atoms in your body are just waiting for you to say the right thing. Hallelujah! Amen. Just got to say the right thing at the right time. Sister Hattie Wright said the right thing, and boom, the third pole came. Sometimes the right thing is weird. Like Banks Woods, right? He says, oh, that fishy shot his last wad. Of all the things to say, that's a really weird thing to say. But it's very finalized, and it really just lets everyone know, all the angels and everyone know, that as far as these men are concerned, that fish is as dead can be. I mean, you're pretty dead when your entrails are out of your mouth. I'd say you're pretty gone. So that's the perfect time for God to step in, causes a prophet to rise up who speaks to the fish. Now, if you can understand what this fish just did, it's laying there dead, it's helpless, the spirit's left its body, and a man just says, little fishy, I give you back your life. Spirit comes back into the body, and supernaturally he sucks his own guts back into his mouth. That's pretty weird. But that's what happened. And it came back to life and started swimming better than any other fish could swim. How did that happen? It's not because Brother Branham was Jesus, and we're poor, miserable people. It's that Brother Branham was allowing Christ in him to fully manifest himself. And we somehow choose not to. Let's be honest. We choose not to. It's just a choice. It's just a decision. But it's going to come when you say the right thing. But so much of the stuff coming out of our mouth, you wonder when the right thing's ever going to show up. You know? And that's what it really comes down to, saints, is you've got to, the way Jesus says it, he says, speak to the mountain. God said, why are you crying to me? Speak. And Moses stretches out his hands with the staff and just speaks to the water, and the water just starts parting and parting and parting. I mean, it can't do anything but obey whatever Moses is thinking. We have to go through you. He's going to go right through there based on Moses' own voice. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? So I'm asking you to just say, Lord, teach me. Show me how to do it. You may speak something completely different the way I'm doing it. There's no set thing. There's no a certain way something has to be done. You be inspired by him. Let him inspire you. In fact, saints, the genetic code of Almighty God that's in you, how many can say amen, was in him in eternity when he thought of light, when he thought of an earth or a universe, when he thought of stars, when he thought of creating life, when he thought of angels and man and animals and all these great things, and all creation declares God's greatness. Amen. When he was thinking on those things, amen, how many can say praise the Lord? I was there. Now, I wasn't just there going, let me get a nap here. God's mind is very active. In him we move and live and have our being. So everything about him is being, existing, acting. So in his mind, in eternity, God actively was thinking. Praise the Lord. Thinking about what was coming. And I want to share this with you because my understanding, by God's grace and the seals opening, really brings this out, is that I was there too thinking. And you were there thinking. And in fact, we were thinking together. We had a collective thought. Praise the Lord. And we began to speak. And the thoughts began to express. Amen. And God spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke, and all this came into existence. And then he put man on earth and says, now you're part of me. You are my offspring. You speak. And Adam begins speaking. And then he got his voice cut off. You all know how that happened, right? And then it comes all the way down to God raising up prophets to keep showing an example that I'm going to raise up humans who can speak. And their voice is going to do things. They'll make an axe head float. They'll make lions shut up. You know, my prophets are going to demonstrate the great prophet, which would be Jesus Christ, the last Adam, who comes and does the same thing. And then God promises that by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to manifest the exact same things Jesus is doing. Amen. Speak it. Saints, the kind of business I do, I mean, I got to ask people sometimes 30, 40, 50 questions. You know, do you have heart disease, lung cancer? I mean, I got to go through all these diseases. It's like, it's crazy. I don't even want to talk about them. And I was with somebody yesterday. I go, COPD, knock on wood, not yet. Everything, knock on wood. I said, will you stop that? What's that knock on wood stuff? Unless you're knocking on Jesus' door. I don't think it was a Christian at all. The guy wasn't a Christian, but, you know, you want to knock on something. But it's funny, though, but people are literally living their lives wondering when they're going to come down with a disease. I wonder if we're a little guilty of that. Wondering when the next shoe's going to fall, when the next bill's coming in, when the next thing's going to happen that we can't do anything about. We've got to stop that. We have to stop. Because it's actually killing us. The thing we are fearing is coming. You don't even have to speak it. You just fear it. Your emotions emanate out in a world that's full of atoms that are just out there waiting to respond to your feelings. I know we're talking about speaking it, but just our feelings is actually causing the way God designed the whole universe is it's made for man to control it. And whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, we're controlling it. And we live around, everybody's a unit, so we're living around a lot of negative people. We go to work with them, we drive on the roads with them, and all this craziness, and they're emanating all this stuff, and they're bringing stuff all around us. But we can live in Goshen. Amen. We can live in light. Amen. Right there in the middle of it all. So don't think like, oh no, what about if they all these people? It doesn't matter. You control your world. You get to control your world. It's yours. You speak it. Amen. And so, it's pretty easy. Do you say, how we do it, Brother Elijah? How do we do it? I mean, when I get hungry, I don't think about speaking squirrels into existence. I'm not sure I'm going to like to eat tree rats. It's not like that. Somebody does like tree rats. Good for you. Well, if you hang around Brother Luke, you're going to eat some weird stuff. Yeah, you're going to. Like, you know, I remember sitting at the house years ago, and you were pretty young, Brother Josh. And we were at your parents' house, and remember when they had the lobsters they brought in? Like, oh, I got the best. He paid the most money for the lobster. Cooked them all up. They were beautiful looking, pink. And then opening them, then there's one that has all these eggs in it, which is gross to me. I was like, he's like, oh, I got it. I got the gems. I got the best. And then he's just over there eating them, thinking it's the most amazing thing. I mean, I was like, phew, no thanks. He kept offering, you got to try these. No thanks. I'm not going to try those. You cook the mother with her babies. What's the matter with you? Brother Luke, you'll eat some weird things with him. I remember sitting in Africa and, you know, food that they would bring in. I'd be like, whoa, I don't know what that is. That looks like a chicken leg with... They stuffed it with something, but it looked like maggots. It was almost like they let it go ahead and magnetize it, or whatever you want to call that, and then they cooked it that way. The extra protein. And I put it aside, and he goes, oh, you're not going to eat that? I said, no, Brother Luke, I'll eat it. I mean, anything I wouldn't eat, he ate it. And I started feeling bad, like, maybe I have a wrong attitude. I should eat whatever set before me, because whatever set before me, I'm not eating, and whatever set before me, he's eating. He's obeying Scripture better than I am. I started feeling like maybe I'm doing it the wrong way. I never asked him that question. Although I will tell you, he was the guy that was very sick on the way trying to come back home. He was the one they almost kept there, if you remember the story. Poor Brother Luke. He can't even respond to that, so that's not fair. But love him to death. I'd travel with him in a heartbeat. Love him so much. But saints, we don't need to hear this again. We just need to do it. You know, you don't have to be trained on the same thing over and over. We got to get out of first grade, second grade, third grade, ninth grade. We got to graduate. We have to. And we don't have to graduate the normal way. We don't have to go by way of the grave, saints. Amen. We get to graduate another way. And that means we already are coming into the squeeze. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse in a number of years. So it's time to practice. Stretch your wings out. Start thinking about how high you can fly. Start thinking about what you can do, not what you can't do. Get the focus off of our limitations and stay humble, but get our focus on really our capabilities. What you were designed for, what I was designed for, to take over anything. There's nothing that's bigger and greater than us. What can separate us from the love of God? Can life, can death, can angels, can powers, can principalities, what can separate us from being connected to God? Nothing. Nothing. Unless you want to do the unpardonable sin, which you're starting to see a lot, condemning Brother Branham of having a devil. I mean, is that where they're going? They want to go that way? I understand if you want to say he was a little off, you know, but he was well-meaning. But they're not saying that anymore. They're starting to say, you know, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was something else. You start calling the Holy Spirit something else, you are really in danger. But that's where it's going to go. They're going to go that way, and you're going to see people dropping dead. I don't want to see it happen. It breaks my heart, but we heard a prophet say, Ananias and Sapphira will come back. And if they're going to do that, go and lie to the Holy Spirit and lie about the Holy Spirit, it will haunt them. It will hurt them. And I feel bad for them because they shouldn't go in that direction. But for some reason, they're under another anointing and they cannot stop themselves. But the great falling away is upon us. But I mean, that's not our focus. We have to get our attention on not what our limits are or what the pressure is, but let's look at the potential. Let's keep our eyes on the promise and let's rise above it. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
That's my message today. Speak it. Believe it. Don't doubt it. You will receive it. Just keep doing it over and over. At first, you're going to stink at it, but it's like anything else. It's a skill. You do it over and over and over, and you get better and better and better. Even after the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, Peter went and he hung around with the Jews, and then, you know, the Gentiles showed up and he ran over to the Gentiles. I mean, Peter stunk at some things, right? There was a little bit of stink going on. Early church had some problems. The widow women had arguments, and people were feeling like they were racist, and all that stuff was happening in the early church. And it happened, you know, but they were learning. They had to learn. A baby that's born again has to learn to walk, has to learn to talk, has to learn to think, right? All those things. Take care of yourself. And so God is raising us up to be a highly independent people. We don't go around with anybody's brand on us. You don't go around saying that you're under this pastor or this doctrine or dogma. Hallelujah. You're in the Methodist. Well, what part are you? I'm Seven Thunders. Oh, great. That's wonderful. Nice brand. You know? But thank God, this is our brand. This is my brand. Amen. This Bible is the brand. That's all. And as soon as we think the message is something different than this, we really miss the boat there. Because the message, I understand it. Now, the Bible alone is not enough. I know that's not fun to hear, but I heard a prophet say those words. And what he meant by that was, we've had the Bible, and we still have 39,000 denominations. So what he meant by that was, the Bible alone without the Holy Spirit. You read it like a newspaper, it's great, does good for you, you could live a better life, but it's still not going to do ultimately what it needs to do. Without the Spirit of truth to lead us into all truth. That's why Jesus says, those who stay in my word, if you continue in my word, you will eventually know the truth because the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. It perfectly makes sense. So his statement is taken out of context, but I want you to understand the Bible alone is good for a while, but you must get the author of the book on the inside. Then the book becomes a living book. You become the book. And then that settles everything. These books will be left behind when the rapture happens. But you, the book, are going. God bless you. Musicians, come. Hallelujah. I think we lost one of them. Praise the Lord. I got a song on my heart, and I had it all the way in, and I've been thinking about it, and now I'm going to find it in here somewhere. Just give me a little time to shout something like that. Yeah, I just want to take a little bit. How many wants to just take a little time? Let's take the next 5 minutes or so. Let's just take some time, get some water on the seed. And do you enjoy the Word of God? I hope it's inspiring you. It's just something that's really helping me. And I'm finding that it's strange, but the more your faith just gets excited, not just about what the Word says, right? Because that's our faith, is in the promises. But when your faith starts rising about what you could do, do you ever think of that? It's scripture, saints. David had confidence in his God, but he also had confidence in himself. It wasn't God that handed him a sling and 5 stones. He had to take the sling and he had to go get the stones and he had to go to Saul and he had to go tell him, I did this. God helped me do this. God helped me do that. And God's going to help me do this. That's what I'm talking about. And the excitement and the joy of knowing I don't have to be overcome by anything. Nothing should have to tear me down. I can win. I can overcome that. I can keep saying no to the devil for as many times as I need to. I can keep doing it. I can beat him. I can keep saying yes to the promises of God. I can win with that. Amen? And so, let's just take some time.